first service that I have been absolutely blown away. Am I on? No? Okay. I've been absolutely blown away by the men who have taken part in giving our communion thought. Every one of them have been different. And every one of them have been from their heart. And that means a whole lot. Not just to me, but to all of you, I'm sure. But it means a whole lot to God because they're speaking from their heart. Thank you, Mike. And believe it or not, Mike is an auctioneer. Okay, if you didn't know that, he could stand up and go, and you'd be going, okay, communion time. But I appreciate every one of the men who have taken part in communion thought. And I'm in the process of getting the next 3 or 4 months together. Some of you have already been asked and agreed to do it. If you would like to be a part of it, send me an email, text me, and say, hey, Bill, I want to be on that list. And I'd be glad to put you on it. Right now, it's all the way made up to the end of July. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, please say so. All right, I'm going to ask you, we're in a series called To and From the Cross, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 6 this morning. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that Pastor Ryan is preaching next week. Joe and I will be taking off to Ohio. We have some dude there that we like to see every once in a while. He does play Friday night and Saturday, and we're hoping it doesn't rain. We went last year, every game it rained. Every game we went except one, and it was so cold it froze our face off. So I actually got off the bleachers, so stood in behind somebody to let them block the wind. We've already seen one, and it didn't rain. So we're hoping he plays Friday night and then Saturday at noon, so we're hoping that we get to see one or both of those games. And then we're just going to take the long weekend. Ryan's going to finish up this series on To and From the Cross. He's going to talk about My Emmaus. And then the first Sunday of May, Lord willing, I'll start the series on Faith Over Fear. And a lot of folks have expressed how they're looking forward to that because of fear and anxiety. And so I'm hoping and praying that it will touch hearts and that you will pray for me as I prepare it. And I'll tell you why that first Sunday it's important that you pray for me. So just kind of let you know where we're at. I'll have more details on that in the midweek message this week. I've already started working on that. And so it'll tell you a little bit more about the series. Okay, let's start Galatians chapter 6. I want to start reading with verse 14. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, but we're mainly focusing on verse 14. Now, I told the first service, and I'll say again, this is almost like a mini Bible study because there are at least 4 other scriptures we will be turning to for you to see exactly why Paul says what he does and why we should also boast only in the cross of Christ. So if you'd like to have your Bible or your tablet ready to follow along with me, it'll be good. All right, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And the Israel of God there, by the way, is the church. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let's pray. And Father, as we come to this passage that is so short but so pointed, I pray that you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to have a heart that is open to hear the truth that is there for us. I pray that you'll help us to glory as Paul did in the cross and not take any glory for ourselves. I ask, Father, that you might help us to be sensitive to you, to be ready to hear, that when we leave here today, you will have stirred our hearts and stirred our spirits to be more of a pursuer of Jesus and his cross. And I pray that as I study, or as we study this morning, as I present the message, that Jesus will be glorified, that Jesus will be honored, that he will be lifted up, and that our eyes will be pointed in direction towards you. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something curious about bragging and boasting. I suspect there's not a person in here who likes someone who boasts or brags. And yet, everybody brags in some way. For example, we boast about our grandchildren. We boast about our bank accounts. We boast about our waistlines. We boast about our sports feasts. We boast about our travel plans. We boast about our accomplishments. And tragically, there are some people who boast about their indiscretions. You get a group of pastors together on a Monday morning after church is over. Get them together for just a confab and ask them how they're doing. They will not tell you how they are doing. They will reflect back to the Sunday before and say, everything's going great. We had X amount of people in church. And unfortunately, there is a game of one-upmanship that often takes place with pastors. Back in the 1990s, some of you remember, there was a car company who had an advertisement or a commercial. They advertised the new all-wheel drive cross-country, which was Volvo. They said that this car could save your life, could help save your life. Then they said it could also save your soul. Now, I realize that probably what they were saying about saving your soul is not what I would think of as saving my soul, and yet that is kind of a strange way of putting it, a car that could save my soul. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul wrote what I believe to be one of the most powerful and pointed few words in all the Bible. He said, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Christ." What I want to do with us today is I wanted to take us through that phrase. What does it mean to boast in Christ? What does it mean when Paul says, "Far be it from me that I should boast about anything but the cross of Christ"? There are two short little thoughts that I want to bring to you to bring that out. The first one is this: the cross frees people from bondage. The cross frees people from bondage. As I stated at the very beginning, none of us likes a braggart. I want to give you some examples of people who would step over the line if they were bragging. For example, let's talk about a major league pitcher or any pitcher who pitches a no-hitter or a perfect game. What would we think of him if he said, "I did it all myself"? What about the fielders who caught the fly balls? What about those who took care of the ground balls? What about the guy behind the plate who caught every pitch that the batter didn't hit? Did he do it all by himself? No. How about this one? How about the pastor who takes sole credit for the growth of a church? "I did this," or "I did that." You would think, boy, he's a windbag. And how tiring would that be? Even our award shows, whether it be the Grammys or whatever they are, if the singer or the actor got up and began to say, I, would you be excited about that or would you be turned off by it? But see, most of them also realize they can't do it all themselves. There's the producers, there are the other actors, there are the singers. And so most of them will somewhere along the line give credit for someone else. We boast and we brag about a lot of things. The Apostle Paul could have boasted about things. I want to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. It's just a couple books over from where we were in Galatians chapter 6. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is he's arguing with the Judaizers. Now, the Judaizers were those who were saying, "I did this, I am good, I am righteous." And Paul says, beginning in verse 4 and 5 and 6, he says, if anybody had reason to brag, to boast, it's me. And he goes on to say, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm from the people of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, and blah, blah, blah. He goes on. And then verse 7. But whatever gain I had, what's he say next? I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them as rubbish. What Paul was basically saying is, you know, I have all these accomplishments. I've done all these things. I have this, I have this pedigree that nobody else can say. But it's worthless. It's nothing. Because the only thing important to me, he says, is knowing Christ Jesus. That's the surpassing greatness of all things. In fact, if you go down to verse 10 of chapter 3, he also goes on to say, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. That word know is the word to know intimately. I want to know Jesus more than anything else. As an Old Testament scholar, Paul would have realized that it was wrong to boast. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 9, and it may be kind of difficult for you to get back there. Chapter 9, verses 23 to 24, you can write that in your notes there and look up later. Listen to what Jeremiah says. This is from God. He says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So what Jeremiah is saying is the most important thing to God is not whether we're wise, not whether we're rich, nothing that we have. The most important thing Jeremiah says, God says, is I want you to know me. I want you to know me. And when Paul says, I want to boast in Christ. He realized that boasting was senseless. Of course, we have people today who boast about their brain power, their earning power, their muscle power, their leveraging power, their buying power. But listen to what Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2 says. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So when we have somebody walk around going, hey, look at me. Look at what I can do. Look what I have. Proverbs says, don't do that. So, why should we boast in the cross of Christ? Here it is. Because it's the only way to be free from the bondage of sin. It's the only way to understand that the cross means death to sin. Paul's full statement in verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The word world there is not referring to our earth, you know, this planet that we live on. The world there is referring to that which we cannot see. The things that are around us. Basically, a world without God. And he's saying we need to get rid of this tyranny of sin. And the only way we're going to do that is by boasting in the cross of Christ. You see, the crucifixion of Jesus struck a mortal blow to the enemy, to his grasp on our life. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Just go two books over from Galatians, where we were reading. Listen to these words if you don't turn there. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." And here it is. "This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities," that's the world that he's talking about elsewhere, "and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." So the crucifixion of Jesus struck a mortal blow. And as he says here, sin was nailed to the cross. So not only does the cross free us from the bondage of sin, there's a second part in this, and that is the cross frees people from the power of sin. Now, if you're still following me, I want you to track with me here. Sin no longer holds a death grip on God's people. But the question is, how could something so ugly as the crucifixion be something so beautiful? Right? How could something so ugly be something so beautiful? Well, let me start by telling you a story. And it's a true story because I heard about it, so I decided to investigate it, i.e. Google it. And so it's about an obscure Hindu holy man named Rao, R-A-O. This is back in 1966. He was kind of an eccentric mystic. He began to gain popularity because he did some things, but people pretty much figured out that he was a sham. But he came to the United States to try and expand his influence. But while he was here, people didn't buy his stuff. And so he decided that he was in over his head in the United States, so he went back to India, and he began to say that he could walk on water. Literally. He said, "I can walk on water," and he charged $100 a ticket for people to come and watch him walk on water. Now, the event was at a large pool. It was a large garden. It had a large pool, a deep pool. And the day of the event, there were over 600 people show up to watch him walk on water. Some of them were followers, were believers, and some of them were just kind of like curiosity seekers. Well, the moment came, he walked in with his long white robe and his long stringy hair. He stood up to the end of the pool. He prayed. He stepped out and sunk to the bottom. He came up sputtering. His face was all red, and he finally forced himself. He was able to get himself out of the water, and the first thing he said was, "One of you is an unbeliever." What a way to get out of it, huh? You see, the problem is that there are all kinds of people who are trying to compare themselves to Jesus. They're trying to do the things that Jesus did, but they are unable to. Jesus showed his power in his life. He showed his power in his death. He showed his power in his resurrection. And he's going to show his power when he returns. And none of the little piddly things that people here say they can do will ever compare to what Jesus has done. He never staged anything. He never ran around looking for people who claim to be hurting and, "Oh, I'm going to pay you to be healed." He never did any of that. His greatest display of authority was when he died on a cross. And if that's the case, then why did he die? He went willingly. That's the other thing. Jesus was not forced. Nobody said, "Okay, you're going to go." Jesus went willingly. He even said that. So why? I think there's two reasons. First, the cross means the death of sin. I hope you're still tracking with me, because if you're like me, you're saying, "Okay, Bill, I've come to know Jesus. If it means the death of sin, why do I still sin? Have you ever asked yourself that question? If I'm drawing closer to Jesus, why am I still sinning? Why do I struggle with it? And personally, that's a fair question to ask. But let's focus on this. Paul said, "May I never boast except in the cross of Christ." But you finish it out, he said, "By the world, which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Even though we struggle with sin, please hear this. Even though you and I struggle with sin and always will, the crucifixion of Jesus struck a mortal blow to the power of the enemy. Remember that passage in Colossians chapter 3 that I read? Our sin was nailed to the cross. Christ died on the cross, not only to atone for our sin, but ultimately to bring it to an end. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And if you know this, finish it out with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to whom? To those who are in Christ Jesus. Every day we are in his hand. Every day we are yielded to his power. And every day we bring ourselves to him in surrender is one less day that sin has its grip on us. One less day until ultimately the victory is ours. One second reason is why we can boast in the cross of Christ. It is the greatest demonstration of God's love. There's a popular TV preacher, speaker, who has a favorite saying. He says, "God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." That sounds good, and on the surface, it's true. However, his refusal to speak about sin, his refusal to speak about the cross, his refusal to speak about the death of Christ being absolutely essential for our salvation, his refusal to stop saying that we are good enough within ourselves to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and make our life better, basically denies the cross of Christ. The cross and Jesus' death on that cross is absolutely, in large letters, absolutely essential for our salvation and for the forgiveness of our sin. In fact, in today's world, it's become very commonplace for some so-called preachers to say that the cross was actually divine child abuse. Imagine that the cross of Christ is divine child abuse, that God was a child abuser because his son died on a cross. The cross shows the love of God the Father. The cross shows the love of a father who gave up his only son as a sacrifice for his people. Therefore, to glory in the cross is to glory in God's love. He is our loving Father. He is our good, good Father. His love is alive. His love is divine. His love is overpowering. And his love is deep. I want to ask you to turn to one last scripture, and then we'll be finished. Ephesians chapter 3. So you're in Galatians, just go really one page over. Ephesians chapter 3. Begin with verse 17 with me. And really, it's a good place to start at verse 14 and go to the end, but I just want to do verse 17 and 18. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of him. I cannot know, nor can you, how high God's love is, how deep God's love is, how wide his love is, how long his love is. But I do know this. It got higher and higher, and wider, and deeper, and longer until I was in it. And every one of you who follow Jesus can say the same thing. That God's love got higher and wider and longer and deeper until you were in it. If that doesn't blow you away, I don't know what to tell you. Because to me, there is no greater love than that. I want to close with the words to a song. It is much more effective if we sang it a cappella, but I will not do that. You would change the word a cappella to awful cappella if I did, if I tried to lead you in singing that. We sang part of it, and I did not know what songs Vicki was picking this morning until I was here with you for service. There are two hymns that, to me, are my favorite hymns. I'm not much of a hymn person, but these are two of my favorite hymns. One of them is Great is Thy Faithfulness. That hymn will be sung at my funeral. The second one are the words to this song. And I believe that this is most beautifully sung or played when it's done at communion time. Hear the words. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, from his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. That e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. And here's the last one. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. My question that I ask you, that I've had to ask myself over and over as I've studied this, am I willing to only boast in the cross of Christ? Because when it all comes down to it, that's all that matters. It's not going to matter all our accolades, all the money we have, where we've been, what we have. All that's going to matter is the cross of Christ. Will you boast in that? And Father, I pray that you will go with us this week. I pray that you will help us to boast only in the cross. Help us to push aside those things that we think are so important that other people know about us. And help us to simply be your people. Help us to simply be a man and a woman, a young man, a young lady, who lay themselves down at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross, and says, I surrender all. Help us to boast only in the love of God, only in the love of Christ. Help us to boast in the cross, because there is love personified. Go with us this week, and I pray that you will help us to take the words that Paul said and live them and show them and speak them to ourselves and to others. And I ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks for joining us online. Have a great week, and you guys be careful.